That's for sure. I don't know. It's the pulpit, I think, you know, you get very nervous. And also, it's about God's word. You need to be nervous about bringing God's word. You don't get familiar with God's word. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, speak to us this morning and minister to us. As Carlo was praying, remove any deficiency in me or the one who hears. Let your Holy Spirit guide us this morning and bless us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And we have come to chapter 9. Last week, Lenny was preaching on Luke chapter 9, verse 46 to 48. There was a discussion or an argument among the disciples. And Jesus noticed it and called them and asked them. If you read in Mark and Matthew Gospel, you know, he spoke to them, but in Luke, he sensed what's happening, and he took a little child and he spoke to those disciples. Whoever welcomes his little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who have sent me. So those who are least in the kingdom of God, those who humble yourself, those who receive this child who is not, you know, in that community, Hebrew community, not. You don't invite a child when the adults are speaking. So they see them as the lowliest. But to receive the lowliest, you have to go low to receive them. See? And that's what Jesus is saying. You have to humble yourself. But when you're humbling, you're trusting God in this manner. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's completely different. What Jesus is talking about here is the upside down kingdom, which he has commenced. And in this kingdom, in the world, it's completely different. It's all about success. It's all about pride. It's all about who is the greatest among you. But Jesus says, if you want to be greatest, come, submit, surrender, humble yourself by trusting me. And as it follows in today's passage in Luke chapter 9, 49 and 50th verse I'm going to speak from, and then I'll follow the remaining verses 51 to 56. You see, Jesus is dealing with two different issues here with the disciples. He's dealing with the disciples, first with the inner circle of people, and then later with the outer circle of people. And the first one I see, there's the challenge here is, the disciples are fighting the wrong enemy. The disciples are fighting the wrong enemy. And the next one we see, they're fighting with the wrong spirit. So what is this about fighting with the wrong enemy? Let's read the verses again. Verse 49, Luke chapter 9, verse 49 and 50. Master, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not one of us. He's not one of us. He's not part of the group. He don't follow you. We do. You called us, not this people. They were just listening to you from somewhere, and they're trusting you from outside. And they're using your name to drive out these people who really need you. But we don't care about all this. They are not part of us. That's their concern. That's what's troubling them. Jesus said, do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you. So when John was asking this question, I was just wondering, why did he ask this? Jesus just spoke about humbling yourself. And immediately, John brings up this. So I was wondering, does he want a clarity about all this thing to say, you know, possibly he was confessing his sins, acknowledging that he had failed to treat someone else's ministry with proper humility? Or is it maybe he was simply looking for clarification from Jesus that he had done the right thing in rebuking this man or not? But it seems more likely that John was raising an objection here. So this man, it's all right, Jesus, it's all right to be humble and whatever your teaching is, but when it comes to using your name and driving off demons and doing your ministry, surely there should be some distinctions still has to be made. They have to be part of us. Exclusively. Should use those privileges and the powers which is only for us, because we follow you, not him or not they. What a struggle. When you go back, John, James, and Peter, they were with Jesus at the time of Transfiguration, where they saw Jesus in all his glory. The moment they come down from there, you see they're struggling, these disciples are struggling to cast out a demon. And this father with his young boy comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, How long will you have struggle with you? How long you'll have this unbelief? Twisted generation. See, for John, the issue is not about when they were supposed to drive out the demons, he could not. The issue is more about others should not use it because they are not part of our team. They are not part of our group. But Jesus beautifully did not rebuke them. Instead, he said, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." See, one thing as I was reading this passage probably 10 years ago when I was in seminary, I do those summer ministry trips to Nepal, which really opened up my eyes to see what God is doing in different parts of the world. Nepal is a bordering nation of India. Very Hinduistic nation, very strong religion, very oppressive spiritual oppression all over the place. My friend who's been ministering among a district called Baglung, which is the largest district in Nepal, and one of the poorest as well. Most of the places you don't have bus facility or any sort of transportation. So I asked my friend, you know, I come from India where the transportations are very different. Wherever you get down, you get either this metro or this train or the flying train or the cars. And you go to Nepal, it's completely different. Beautiful nature. But he said, you have to walk, Alex. How long? We're not sure. You just have to walk till you find the people. So his ministry is, his church sends him out to meet these people in the rural part, very remote areas where you had to climb those hills, and it goes like 10 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours, find something on the road to eat, just get inside somebody's house, ask them for food, and they will provide you. That's the nature. And with me, you can look at me, I'm not a person who could walk for long. But it was a wonderful experience. As we went and met some group of people, so spending some time with them. These people come from a Hindu background. When they got to know about Jesus, the power of Jesus in their life, what Jesus has done in their life when they received him, the the deliverance from the sickness and all the demonic oppression. And these people, they gather, they pray, and all those people in the villages bring those people who are demon possessed or whatever sort of disease, sickness. There is no hospitals there. There is no psychologist or counselors. Or all you do is go to those people who pray. And God was working in the midst of them. They were young babes in faith, yet they trusted God completely. The power of God in that place was amazing. I was shivering as I was spending time ministering to those people. God, help me. Help me to learn what I need to see here, what I need to learn. But the problem is, with John, you guys haven't got everything right here, so you cannot use Jesus' name. You cannot use Jesus' name. So the statement is hard to understand, especially when you look at Luke 11:23. Jesus says this, whoever is not with me is against me. In Luke 9, Jesus says, whoever is not against us is with us. In Luke 11:23, he says, whoever is not with me is against me. So to understand this passage, we need to understand Luke 11:23. But in that occasion, Jesus was talking about the work of Satan, with whom there can be no compromise. In both instances, Jesus was making it clear that there is no middle ground. People are either for Jesus or against Jesus. Sometimes we do that mistake. Instead of fighting Satan, the devil, the enemy, we start fighting our fellow Christians. We fight the wrong enemy. The enemy is the devil. He wants to bring that confusion within us, divide us. What Jesus is talking about here is unity among people. If you're divided, you're not going to do what I'm asking you to do. If you're united, I will do greater things among you. So we need to understand from this passage what Jesus is talking here is, let's not fight the wrong enemy. Sometimes we get confused with denominations, churches. But you need to understand, we are all in godly alliance. Our enemy is the devil. I was listening to R.C. Sproul, and he beautifully put up an illustration about Martin Luther. I'm going to read that. During Reformation in 1520s, during an attempt to create a unified front between the reformers of Switzerland and the followers of Luther in Germany. It's a place called Marburg. An important historical meeting was held to discuss about the theological ideas. Representatives were from both the sides, including Ulrich Zwingli, is one of the very important person from Switzerland. They tried to hammer out a position of unity so they could stand together for the Reformation. But they could not agree on some points of understanding the Lord's Supper and how Christ was present in it. Both sides believed that he was present, but the mode of that presence was a matter of dispute. So what happened in that meeting? Luther insisted on the physical, corporeal presence of Christ in the sacrament. With all this discussion and argument, he got upset. And he stood up and pounded the table saying, "This is my body. The only way we can take Jesus' word in the fullest corporeal senses, it's Christ's body." Zwingli, the other side, Zwingli and others responded, "Jesus said, 'I am the wine, I am the dough.' Can the word be used in a way to represent something without insistent on literalism?" They could not agree. So what happened after that is very important here. It was very sad. Saddest part was that when Luther turned to Zwingli and said, "You are an Adan jest, which is of different spirit." In Latin he said, "Adan jest," which is, "Zwingli, you have got a different spirit." Because they had not come to an agreement, they questioned Zwingli's Christianity and a spirit. Martin Luther. So there's something we need to learn here. They come for unity, but because of one disagreement, we could go to a place to question the very spirit that dwells in us. We have to be very careful how we are dealing with our life and how our relationship with our fellow Christians, and a reminder, we are not fighting the wrong enemy. But that also leads to our second point, which is fighting with the wrong spirit. As we read verses 51 to 56, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village." See, now it's an outsiders, the Samaritans. John and James, sons of thunder, wants to bring down fire. So we need to understand the historical background here. As Jesus was passing through the Samaritan villages, usually the Jews tried to not do that, passing through a Samaritan village. When they're going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they find it as something, you know, don't want to do it because it's going to make them unclean. But also the historical thing is, when the northern kingdom, Israel, was captured by the Assyrian kingdom, what they do is they usually take people and displace them and put their people in there, and they mix up people there so that there will not be any sort of rebellion against the kingdom. So people who have been captured by Assyrians, the northern territory, the Israelites, have been taken away and put in different places. So the whole setup of the northern kingdom have changed. The people in that place have changed. There is a lot of intermarriages. So those people who are living there, not Israelites alone, but there's a lot of intermarriages and people from different cultures were mixed up in generation and generation, and they're living there. But when it comes to Judea, when they went into captive by Babylonians, when they came back to Judea, they want to build a place of worship in Jerusalem. The Samaritans volunteered to come to do that, but for Jewish people, that's unclean. They didn't take that help. The Samaritans went and had a place of worship in Mount Gerizim, which they believe where Abraham nearly offered Isaac as sacrifice, which Jews will not believe. They call it Mount Moriah. You see that in John chapter 4, where the Samaritan woman, when she talks to Jesus, she addresses that. Our fathers worship in this mountain, which is Mount Gerizim. But Jesus says, one day you will not worship in the Mount Gerizim, or not in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Amen. And as you see this, the Samaritans, why did they behave in that manner? Why didn't they welcome? Because previously we see in 48th verse, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. So here you see they are not ready to welcome Jesus, because in verse 53 it says, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Jesus has already set his eyes to Jerusalem. And these people, as they're passing through Samaritan villages, these people are not happy that we have a place of worship. You're going to Jerusalem. They're not welcoming him. There's prejudice. But not only the part of Samaritans, the same with John and James and the other disciples. You're looking at the Old Testament way when Elijah brought down the fire from heaven upon the worshippers of Baal and Asherah. Lord, should we do the same thing? Should we bring fire down upon these people and destroy all of them? Many times we think about it, isn't it? And things doesn't work out with some of our friends or family who does not agree with us. If only God gave that to us, you would have done that. But we need to think something else here. If God would have done it to us, we would have not been here today worshiping Him. We are ready to bring the wrath of God and the condemnation on other people who does not in line with us. But when it comes to very own life, we want God to be gracious. But what Jesus is teaching us here is, I did not come here to destroy, I've come here to save. I've come here to save. That's what he talks to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I did not come to condemn this world. Yes, he is the judge. Yet he come to save these people, redeem them from the sinfulness. The reason the Samaritans could not see is they are blinded. But you and I, just like the disciples, we know Jesus. You and I have the privilege today to know who Jesus is, through that Holy Spirit who have renewed our life and called us into our Father's love. So we need to share the grace of God and understand Jesus has come to save the people, not to destroy the people. So what kind of spirit that we are fighting against? Because Paul says, he talks of the fruit of spirit, love, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, all these attributes of Jesus, of God. The Spirit of the Lord has given to us and want us to live in Jesus and share with people who does not know the light, the Son of God. But we are quick to judge rather than sharing the grace of God, our Savior, to those people who are blinded. As you look at Jesus on the cross, if anyone have the rights to condemn people, judge people, bring down the fire, it's Jesus, the Son of God. But he, as he been crucified on the cross, the very word was this: Father, they do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing. They really know what they are doing, but Jesus knows they are blinded. They do not know what they are doing. You and I need to understand that. They do not know what they are doing. We need to share the love of God, suffer, be gentle, gracious with our words. I love the scripture in Jude. Jude got only one chapter. Verse 22 and 23. Jude says this, half-brother of Jesus, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch them from fire. So this is what God called us to do. When you receive Jesus, when you experience His love and grace, it's not about keeping it to yourself and growing more and more, but also about sharing that blessed love to those people who are in the darkness. But I want to tell you that you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it with your own strength. You need God helping you with that. That's what the scripture says. He has sent you a counselor who will strengthen you to teach you the words of Jesus and to stand as a witness for His words. Amen? As we look at John's life, he became the apostle of God's love. In his epistles, some of the things he focused very much is love of God and Christ became the central theme of his life and ministry. The book of Acts, we read in Acts 8:25 that John and Peter took the gospel to many villages in Samaria. And many villages of Samaria. Whenever people arouse our anger, we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us show them the love of God. Stop fighting the wrong enemy. Stop fighting with the wrong spirit. How do we do that? Go and ask the Lord to strengthen you. What the disciples should have done is gone on their knees, crying out for those people, Lord. As John Knox prayed, give me Scotland or take my life. That's the love he carried for Scotland. And Scotland was reached. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we are weak vessels, O Lord. You strengthen us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to stand as a witness for your name, your glory. Continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love, gentleness, long-suffering, and meekness, self-control, and many others, O Father. We surrender our lives into your mighty hands. Remove all the deficiency in our hearts. Help us to grow stronger in you alone. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and